In Iraq, some American soldiers are carrying books as well as guns as they help in the business of reconstructing the country's institutions. Commentator Lee McMahon, a sergeant with the American Forces Radio and Television Service, spent the last 3 months in Baghdad.
I put on my body armor, drape my rifle over my back, grab my Kevlar helmet and camera gear, and head for my mission brief. I'm covering a story about 1st Armored Division soldiers delivering supplies to schools in Baghdad. All missions require a heightened vigilance. Visiting a school can be as dangerous as patrolling the streets. We're greeted at an elementary school by dust and chaos in the form of chattering, pointing, swarming children. They try and talk the soldiers into giving up their helmets. Inside the classroom, 60 young girls sit quietly in rows, their identical turquoise blue UNICEF backpacks on their desks. Two girls in the front row whisper and giggle when a soldier hands them a package of lifesavers. This is a welcome change for the soldiers, some of whom rarely get a chance to leave the base or interact with the local population. With signs in broken English, the soldiers ask for a picture with the students. The girls scramble from their chairs for a noisy impromptu photo session. But when we get back to our vehicles, things have changed. A large crowd of neighborhood children and adults has gathered. As I climb into my seat, I hear the thump, thump, thump of rock on metal. Rocks fly over the pink concrete wall surrounding the school we have just left. No one in my vehicle seemed fazed by the small attack. In comparison to the roadside bombs the soldiers face daily on the streets, rocks idly bouncing off of our vehicle aren't that scary. When we get to a high school, the soldiers' movements are much quicker. The older students have not had a positive reaction to soldiers, and my group does not want to risk more rock throwing. Soldiers quickly empty boxes of clothing and school supplies from the vehicle while others pull perimeter security. A group of young boys approach. I brace myself for a barrage of questions about the possible presence of candy in my pockets. Instead, one boy, in a maroon sweater, edges out the others and points to his textbooks. Energy seems to burst from his small, wiry frame. English, he says. Curiously, I look down at his books. He opens to a page with English phrases on it. "Would you like to go to the cinema with me tonight?" he reads. I repeat the phrase, and we continue down the page, mimicking each other. "What is your name?" he asks. "Lee," I reply. "What's yours?" "Ali." "Well, hello, Ali. Your English is very good," I say. He beams at the compliment. I marvel at Ali's apparent ease amongst us, strange-looking creatures in body armor and Kevlar. He must have become used to the sight of convoys. I wonder what his parents or teachers have told him about American soldiers, for him to march so self-assuredly over to talk to a stranger. As our vehicles roll away down the rocky, muddy banks of the street, Ali hops from curb to curb, waving with a gaping smile. His confidence reassures me that change is possible here, and that the future lies in turning pages, not flying rocks.
The comments of Sergeant Lee McMahon, a journalist with the American Forces Radio and Television Service, which began in 1942 as Armed Forces Radio.